Today is Erev Chanukah, and there's some question whether you're allowed to make a hesped on Erev Chanukah, although it seems from most of the poskim, that, and that's how we are accustomed, lahalacha, that you are allowed, even though it's Erev Chanukah, to make a hesped. But I'm not intending this as a hesped, but I was personally very inspired by hearing the Hespedim on the Mira Rosh Hashiva, Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zitzal, and there was a Shloshim Hesped in Borough Park, and they gave out two MP3s. I think they had 120 Hespedim on it. Oh, wow. So I only heard around 25, but from that alone, I was tremendously inspired, and I just wanted to share it with you, some of that inspiration. 10 months ago, here in the OU, we had this chus that Rav Finkel came to the OU Kashrus department. He spoke to the Rabbanim, and no one could have thought then that he would be taken away from us so abruptly and suddenly, such a short time later. The Pasuk in Shmuel Beis, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Lamed Ches, tells us that David spoke to his servants about Avner ben Ner, and he said to them, "Halo teidu ki sar v'godel nafal hayom hazeh b'Yisrael. You will know that a great prince fell today when Avner ben Ner died." So Rav Shimon Schwab Zitzal asked, why is it said in the future, "Halo teidu," you will know. It should say, "Halo yadatem," you know that a great person went away. And the answer that he gave was that sometimes we don't realize how great the person was. It's only later when we reflect and we see more and more what he represented and what's missing with his leaving the world. So it's only in the future that we begin to understand how great he was. And I think this applies very much to Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel Zitzal. Everyone, when he came here to the OU, and I had this chus that I took him from a different place, I accompanied him. He used to travel in, I think it's called Winnebago. It's a motor home. Due to his ill health, as we're going to speak, he had a bed in it, and I had this chus to travel with him for a few minutes from one location to the other here in downtown Manhattan. But I knew he was a gadol, but what a gadol he was, how like teidu, with the time, you realize more and more. So this is a person who came to his uncle, Rab Lezer Yehuda Finkel Zitzal, was the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. Rav Lezer Yehuda Finkel was the son of the Alter of Slabodka, whose name was Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel. In fact, in other words, the Rosh Yeshiva was just Nifter, was named after his illustrious grandfather, the Alter of Slabodka, who was known as a great machanech. Many of the Rosh Yeshivas in America who established Torah in America, such as Rav Aaron Kotler Zitzal, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Huttner, Rav Ruderman, all these gedolim were talmidim of the Alter of Slabodka. He was a very great pikeach, a very wise man, and he knew how to develop the potential of each talmid to his maximum. So his son was Rav Lezer Yudel, and when Rav Lezer Yudel died, I think the Rosh Yeshiva first was Rav Chaim Shmulevich, and then Rav Beinish Finkel, who was a son of Rav Lezer Yudel Finkel, and then it went to Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, who was just Nifter. And the son now, who is the Rosh Yeshiva, who took over for Rav Nosson Tzvi, his name again is Rav Lezer Yehuda Finkel. So there's a story that was told, I think the Mishpacha magazine had it, where there's a Balkore in the Mir, and this Balkore has been laying there for 50, 60 years, and he used to call up the names of the people who got the Aliyah at the Torah. But many years ago, he stopped. He just lanes. But when after the Shiva, when the present Rav Elazar Yehuda Finkel, the present Rav Shiva, became Rav Shiva, so he asked the Gabbai, can I call him up? And he said, okay, you want to call him up? Sure. And he said, Yamoid Harav, Harav Elazar Yehuda ben Rav Nosson Tzvi, Morenu, he gave him the title Morenu, and he was very emotional when he said it. And the people later asked him, why did you first of all call him up? You stopped doing that, and why are you so emotional? So he answered that many, many years ago, I used to call up the grandfather, who this was his very name. His name was Rav Elazar Yehuda ben Rav Nosson Tzvi. So I wanted to have this chus that I could call up once again another Rav Elazar Yehuda ben Rav Nosson Tzvi. And that's why he did it. Anyway, Rav Nosson Tzvi came to the yeshiva of Mir. They say he wore a Chicago Cubs baseball cap. He was born in Chicago. He went to the Ira Crown High School, a co-ed high school, and he came with this baseball cap. And 50 years later, when he was Nifter, he had 200,000 people were at his levaya. Mm-hmm. So what happened in between this American boy who enjoyed baseball, and at the end, 50 years later, around 50 years, because he came, let's say, a teenager, 17 years old, and he was here in Mir 50 years, and he left the world 200,000 as levaya. What happened in between? Rav Elazar Yehuda, his uncle, was Makarevim. He used to sleep in the house of Rav Elazar Yehuda, and he got him the best chavrusas, and he implanted in Rav Nosson Tzvi a tremendous love for Torah. Rav Nosson Tzvi used to say over that when he was living by his uncle, Rav Elazar Yehuda, the uncle used to get up very early in the morning to learn, maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. And one night when he was sleeping, Rav Nosson Tzvi got up in the middle of his sleep, and he was in the same room where Rav Elazar Yehuda was learning, and he pretended that he was still sleeping, but he was really awake. And he wanted to see, what Rav Elazar Yehuda does. And he saw that Rav Elazar Yehuda went over to the Shas and went to each volume of the Shas and kissed it and hugged it, and he was full of joy that he's able another day to learn Torah. Like, he hugged and kissed these precious volumes of the Shas. And this made a tremendous impression on Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and it inculcated within him a tremendous avas ha-Torah, a love for Torah. Rav Nosson Tzvi, many of the speakers, they spoke about the same idea, but for 25 years approximately, he was sick with a debilitating disease which ravaged his body. He had the Parkinson's, and there was medicine that he could have taken that might have helped him, but this medicine would make him forget his learning. He didn't want, if it would, he said it's worth it for him to be sick his whole life, and rather than forget one little piece of Torah. That's how precious Torah was for him. He was confined to a wheelchair. Sometimes he was too weak to sit even in a wheelchair, and he had to lie in bed. So one of the Maspidim said, which I thought maybe is the best thought that could be said about him. A person, he said, in a similar condition as him, we would find him, unfortunately, in a nursing home doing arts and crafts. And this man, what did he do? Someone similar to him would not go to davening. He would be putter from davening. Someone similar to him would be putter from learning. But no, not him. He once gave a shmuz in the yeshiva, and he said, today, when I got up, I was so weak. This is when he was able to speak. Sometimes He had no strength to speak. Sometimes his tongue didn't work properly. Even if he had strength, he couldn't articulate the words. But he once spoke, and he said that today I felt too weak to daven, and I was going to stay home. But I decided I'm going to go anyway. And he said, you know, when you do something hard, which you don't want to do because it's hard, and after you do it, you feel good about yourself. You have a good feeling. And he was trying to give that over, that message, to the Talmidim. Rav Elia Ber Vachtvogel, who was masvid in Borah Park last Monday night, a week ago, he said that the Mesiras Nefesh of Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, not just in this generation, we haven't seen such a thing, but in many generations previously, we have never heard of a person in his physical situation that could still carry on not only what a regular person does, but as we'll soon see, much more than a regular person is able to do. So the Yisurim, the pain that he had, and the weakness that he had, and yet he went to davening, and yet he went and he learned and gave shiurim, etc., etc. We haven't seen such a thing. What was on this one man, this crippled man's shoulders? He had 6,000 bachurim. He built up the yeshiva from a few hundred to 6,000, and he had personal relationships with most of them. He would learn b'chavrusa with many of them. Somebody asked him, do you know the name of every bachur in the yeshiva? He said, I could tell you, I don't know the name of each bachur, but I could tell you that I love each bachur. He had, how much was his budget? He had on his shoulders a $25 million budget. At the end of his days, unfortunately, he was in deficit $15 million. And it gave him terrible pain that if he couldn't pay the Chavri HaKolel, those learning a kol, that gave him tremendous agamas nefesh. If he was late, if he was behind in payments. So he has 6,000 bachurim. Many people who fundraise, they're busy fundraising. They don't have time to with the bachurim and the yeshiva that they're fundraising for. They're busy trying to get the money to keep the yeshiva going. He had a relationship, he told someone, I have my finger on everything in the yeshiva. Whatever's going on in the yeshiva, I have my finger on it. I'm involved in it. But he wasn't just satisfied with the amount of Talmidim. As the time went on, they couldn't fit in the Beis Medrash. There were so many. So first he expanded the Beis Medrash. And then that wasn't enough. So he started building a new building. And that building wasn't enough. He built another building. And he built buildings and buildings and buildings. And finally, they built a whole new campus in Modi'in. It's called Mir Brachtfeld, which somebody said he was there. He said, you would think if somebody has 800 bachurim over there with dining rooms and dormitories and batei midrashim, that itself is, for most people, would be enough that they should take care just of that one campus in Modi'in, Mir Brachtfeld. But this was only one of his expansions. So, learning the Chavrusa with many Bachurim. He gave three major shiurim every week in different, you know, I prepared this shiur, this once a week. I put in a few hours to prepare. It takes time. Rav Finkel gave in this is lighter things. He gave in heavy Gemara, deep Gemara things, and not in one sugya. He gave in three different, he had to be holding in three different areas, and in depth, and yet he was able to do it. And he was always developing new programs. And his philosophy was that the yeshiva is open for anybody to come. If you're a Hasidish bacher and you're not going to feel comfortable with a Litvish davening, so he made that they have their own. Many yeshivas, you know, you got to fit into the way the yeshivas run. You don't fit in, you know, tough luck. His philosophy was everyone should feel comfortable. You're used to Hasidish davening, we're a Litvish yeshiva, so we'll have a base medrash for you, a Hasidish base medrash. You'll daven with the way you're used to it. Nusach Sfard, fine, you, whatever, be comfortable. As long as you want to learn Torah, there's one thing, you come into the yeshiva to learn Torah. We will do everything that you feel comfortable here in the yeshiva. And as we said, he's always developing new programs. If you wrote a chiddush, you made up your own idea in the Gemara and you presented it to him, he would give out stipends. He would give out, people should finish a mesechta, people work to finish the whole shas. And then besides all this, there were lines from his apartment, through his living room, down the steps, around the corner. People, and not once a week, but in Eretz Yisrael, they have every Rav, who's a distinguished Rav, has times when, I forgot what it's called, Kabbalah Sa'am, when the people can come in and you can see the Rav, a certain time. And he didn't have it once a week. He had it every single day. There were lines. And what did they get? Sometimes all he could have strength to say was one or two words. But they waited for the one or two words to get a bracha from this tzaddik. Now, people like him, many of them are embarrassed to be seen in public. His hands shook all over the place. Very often he would start a shiur and he would get lower and lower his voice until it was hard, like a whisper. And there were times when he couldn't speak. He couldn't physically speak. They had in the Hamodia had a section on Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel. They had a letter, not a letter, a little note, and on the note said two words in Hebrew, and the two words meant "I tried, forgive me." What happened was he had to speak someplace and he couldn't speak. So he wrote these two words down. I tried, forgive me, I wasn't able to. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman spoke at this kinnus Monday night last week, and he said that Rav Nosson Zvi is for us a lesson of Mesiras Nefesh. And he said there was a Rebbe in Brooklyn who gave his students a page, and he said, write on the page what your grandparents were most in nefesh. So one wrote about the Holocaust, one wrote that when my grandparents came to America, you had to work on Shabbos, so every week you got fired because you're not coming in on Shabbos. But Monday you came for your job, it was gone, you had to get a new job. So it was tremendous mysterious nefesh. So then the Rebbe said, okay, now everybody turn over the page and write what your Meister Nefesh. And he said the page was empty. Nobody could write what they are Meister Nefesh. And what we think Mesiras Nefesh is, if in the morning before davening I get a coffee, and one day I'm late, and if I'm going to get my coffee, I'm going to be late for minyan. You know what? I'm going to be Meister Nefesh. I'm not going to take my coffee. So this, by us, is the epitome of Mesiras Nefesh. But when you looked at Rav Finkel, in his sick condition, what he was able to accomplish, what they say 50 people couldn't do, the budget with the Talmidim, with the lines, with the different programs, with having a relationship with the Talmidim, it's beyond comprehension how one healthy person could do whatever he did. But one so sick as him to do it, it's beyond understanding. So the main lesson that I have from Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel, there's many things to learn, but one of the things is that whenever you ever during the day there's something hard, you say this is hard, I don't want to do it. We all have those kind of situations. Everybody wants to have the easy way. We want to take it easy. So think what you consider hard. What is that? What Rav Nosson Zvi Finkel would consider hard? Rav Nosson Zvi would consider that's the easiest thing in the world. Somebody just told me that they have a Yarche Kala from America. They go to Eretz Yisrael. They have speakers. So Rav Nassesvi spoke, I think, last year at the Yarche Kala. They have it during January, I think, usually. And right after him, Rav Dan Segal spoke. He's a great Bal Musar. So Rav Nassesvi came, he spoke, and he left, and Rav Dan Segal was there, and he heard him speaking, and he said, I had something else to talk about, but I'm going to talk about Rav Nassesvi. After he left, he said, how is this possible, what this person is doing? It's incredible. And he said, the answer is one word, Ratzon. He had a will. And we're going to see other ideas of how he did what he did as the shir goes on. But the Dan Segal said, Ein Dover Omeid Mipnei HaRatzon. If a person really, really wants something, then nothing will stand in the way. He really, really wants to learn Torah, to spread Torah, to make people besimcha while they're learning Torah, to take care of their needs, as we'll see. That's what he wants, and that's why he's able to do whatever he does. They said over from Rav Michal Zilber, who's a very big gadol in Eretz Yisrael, he said when he saw Rav Nassesvi Finkel, he got an answer to a question. What's the question? It says in the Shmoyne Esrei on Yom Kippur, we have vidui. We say al-chait. One of the al-chaits is, al-chait shechatanu lufanecha bo'oynesu baratzen. Please forgive me, Hashem, that I sinned in front of you. Be'oines means where I couldn't help it, and oines uberatzen, and where I did it willingly. So there's two questions on this alchet. Number one, we have a rule oines rachmana patre, which means that if a person wants to go to davening and there's a blizzard, there's a 5-foot snow, you can't get through, you can't get to shul. You wanted to go to shul. You couldn't get through, and you didn't go daven shul. Hashem says, you're an ones. It's an accident. It's beyond your ability. So what is this chet that we're hitting ourselves on our heart, and we're saying, please, Hashem, forgive me for the ones. If you're an ones, you're potter. Second question is, whenever a person says al chet, it means charot al over, I feel bad what I did in the past, and kabbalah al habo, I accept in the future. What are you going to accept in the future? How could you change this? Next time an onus happens, you again won't be able to do it. So what is the tshuva that you're supposed to do on onus?
Maybe if you deserved it, Hashem wouldn't have put the blizzard.
So Rav Michal Zilber says that the pshat is, when you see Rav Nassesvi, you have the answer. The answer is, what you consider an ones wouldn't be an ones. He'd get the snow shovel and make a hole through that wall of snow. He would get to shul. What you consider an ones, it might be a hard thing, but it's not that it's impossible. It ain't dover omeb ne'er rutzen. As if you really wanted to. If there was, let's say there's $1 million there in the shul, if you would take a shovel and you'd get it. So everything is relative. Those onsim it seems to be an ones, but really you could have done it. So those are the ones where al-chait, that I said it was an ones, but maybe it wasn't a real ones. It wasn't a real oneness. It was only by Rav Nassesvi we saw that what normal people consider to be an oneness is not really an oneness. And people said that in the Hespedim that he never let someone do something for him. For example, I mean, we spoke about before, in his condition, being in public is tremendously embarrassing. A lot of people just want to hide from the public. His hands were shaking all over. So somebody said he took some scrambled eggs to eat, it could take 6 times till the fork got into his mouth. So people, embarrassing to speak in public and the words don't come out either because you don't have strength or your tongue's not working properly. It's embarrassing. So, but it didn't stop him. He just kept going. he never asked someone feed him. He wouldn't let Chas V'Shalom. He never asked someone to cut his piece of chicken, even though for him it was a terrible ordeal to cut a piece of chicken. So the bottom line is, which the Maspidim all brought out, he was larger than life. There were no gvulim. There was no constrictions, restraints. There was no. A lot of people don't do things because they make a box for themselves. I can't do this because X, Y, Z. Whatever you fill in the X, Y, Z. He did. There was no box that could stop him. His own physical body. He didn't have a body. He was like a soul. Somebody said, if you wanted to prove to Orson Meach boy or what Rav Weinberg's yeshiva, what's it called? Rav Noach Weinberg? Eisha Torah. You want to prove that there's a Hashem and there's a neshama, take Rav Nosson Tzvi, you put him on a stage and say, look at this man. There's no guf here. There's no body. How's he functioning? He's functioning only with his neshama. He once asked a child, what are you learning? A little boy. So the boy said, Lech Lecha. So he asked the young boy, would you, if Hashem told you to leave and go, you don't know where you're going, just leave to a place where I'll show you, would you go? So Rav Nosson Tzvi says, that's me. I don't know where I'm going. I'm just going. I'm doing more Torah, more buildings, more programs. I just keep where this is going to wind up. Where I don't know. I'm just lech lecha. Just keep moving, keep building Torah in Klal Yisrael. One of the Maspidim said that he had many discussions. Apparently, he's a Rosh Hashiva. One of the problems on this MP3 that I was listening to is they don't say who's giving the hesped. I guess if you're familiar, at the beginning, by the Levaya, they called out the Maspidim, but afterwards they have a spadim during the Shiva, so people get up and speak. It doesn't say who they are. I can't say B'Shem Omri, but one of the Maspidim said that he's a Rebbe in the Yeshiva, and he had many discussions with Rav Nosson Tzvi Finkel, and he said, never in all the years, not only in the conclusion of a discussion, but even in the hava minute, in the deliberations before the conclusion is reached, did he ever see any negiya of Rav Nosson Tzvi? What's in it for me? What's in it for my children? What's in it for my covet? What's in it for my money? There was absolutely nothing. There was one thing. What is going to help learning of Torah in the yeshiva? That was the only consideration. Somebody said that if he wanted to get something done, he would tell Rav Nosson Tzvi, this is going to be a chizuk for the yeshiva. It's going to make the yeshiva better. Then that if he heard that, whatever it was, one year he decided that to get the boys to learn better, he's going to advertise that they're going to have better food. You know, it costs more money. Doesn't matter. Where the money's going to come from, I don't know. But we're going to get better food. They'll give him a bigger cheshik to learn. They never heard him, even though they could see that he was in many times in terrible physical pain. He never, ever complained about pain. Somebody said, one of the Maspidim, that to explain this phenomena that he had no boundaries. I'll get one example. There's somebody in Lakewood, I don't know if it's going to work out, but he advertised that he wants to learn a million Dafim Gemara for Rav Nosson Tzvi. Not himself personally, but he wants the people to together. The thought that someone could think, you know, we're going to learn a million Daf. Make a siyum on a Masechta, you make a siyum on Shas. Shas is 2,700 Dafim. But this is a Talmud of Rav Nosson Tzvi. So his hasaga is a million dafim for them. It just, because that's what he inculcated, that, you know, not small, I'm satisfied with this little bit. No, you have to go, you have to finish the whole Masechta. You have to, as I'm soon going to speak about, a program, a special program that he brought into Mir Yeshiva. the whole Masechta. You have to look to finish Shas. So he had his, and we're not happy. A regular yeshiva, you have 300 bachurim, 400, 5. When I went to Tal's yeshiva today, unfortunately, there's very few bachurim. I hope it'll build up. But in Cleveland, we had 400 talmidim. That was like, wow. What yeshiva had 400? Today, he 400, 1,000, 6,000, one building, five buildings, and more campuses, more buildings. He had no end. I spoke at the beginning of this year about his love from Torah. So once they had Achnas to save the Torah, and he couldn't speak. So he pointed to the mantle, the cover of the Sefer Torah. What was written on the cover of the Sefer Torah? It was written, Mo ohafti soira secha, kol hayom hi sichasi. How I love the Torah, the whole day I only talk Torah. So this is when he couldn't talk. When he couldn't talk, that's what he pointed to, Mo ohafti. He once came to a gathering about Shmiras Haloshin, and he couldn't talk. He only got three words out. And the three words were, Vahafta L'Re'acha Kamaicha. I saw a story. He was once learning on the couch. He didn't have strength to learn at a table. He was learning on the couch. And in the middle of his learning with a chavrusa, he had a spasm. And the spasm knocked him off the couch onto the floor. So before this boy could get the Rebbetzin to help pick him up, he says, I think even it says his face hit the ground. He was facing the ground. And he said, we're in the middle. What's the teretz to that kasha? He wanted to know the answer to the question. Now, what he brought into the Mir Yeshiva was the following. And it has some interesting ramifications. It's called Daf Be'iyun, which means in most yeshivas there were two methods of learning. One is to learn very quickly, not deep, superficially. You learn Gemara and the Rashi, and you learn fast. And the other way was just the opposite, to learn very slow. You cover five dafim in a whole winter. That's a lot, which is really very little. The Masechta has 130 blot, and you covered five blot. It's very little. But you went through those five blot very, very, very deep. His method was a daf a day. Every day you finish a daf, and that daf is two sides of the Gemara. That daf, you do it deep. You don't spend 3 months on one daf, but one day, but that day, and at the beginning, this new innovation was, the people were very skeptical about it. It hadn't been the practice of the yeshivas. He pushed it through, and then people began to appreciate it. And many talmidim, they mastered a masechta, and many of them mastered shas. And there's an interesting story. There was a Rebbe who was a fantastic Rebbe, and one day he told in the Mir Yeshiva, he came to Rabbi Nassim Tzvi and he said he wants to stop being a Rebbe. So Rabbi Nassim Tzvi said, why? You're so matzliach. You're so successful. He says, yeah, but when am I going to do something for myself? I have to learn the whole Shas, and if I'm busy a whole day with Talmidim, I can't concentrate on myself. So Rabbi Nassim Tzvi said, no, you should be, as he was, you should be interested in making other talmidim, in for other people's benefit. So they said, okay. Rav Nassi says, we'll go to a din Torah to Rav Shach. So they went to Rav Shach, and Rav Shach said, you know, the same thing happened to me. I had the exact problem. I was in Ponovich, and I'm busy with talmidim, and I wanted to learn Shas. He knew Shas, but he wanted to learn it better, and I didn't have time. So I asked this gadol and that gadol. This gadol told me I should stop and learn shas. This gadol said, no, you have to worry about the talmidim. And that was what Rav Shach answered them. So really he gave them no answer, because he said there's two sides to look at it. In the end, what happened was the Rebbe stayed, and he began to say the daf be'iyun. He did Rav Nosson Tzvi's method of a daf a day. So in 7 years, he finished Shas, Be'iyun. So he was happy that he covered Shas, and Rav Nosson Tzvi was happy. He stayed as a Rebbe, and he was a terrific Rebbe. They said that on the day that he was Nifter, in the yeshiva, they were learning Masech the Bava Basra, and he was Nifter in his system of a daf a day on Bava Basra Daf Tes. And in Bava Basra Daf Tes, there's two very interesting chazal, which fit Rav Nosson Tzvi. And it was Bashgach, he was Nifter on that day. The first one was, Godol Hamaase Yoyser Min Oysa. The greater is the one, if I cause you to do a mitzvah, I get even more reward than the person who does it. So imagine all the reward that Rav Nosson Tzvi gets from all the 6,000 Talmidim over the years, on the 25 years that he was Rosh Yeshiva, all the Torah that he got from that, all the schar. And the second one is, if you give charity, tzedakah, to someone, you get 6 brachas. But if you make a person feel good, you get 11 brachas. So his method was not that he made people feel good. He said, he used to tell people, a smile costs nothing. You know, you always see pictures of him with a beautiful smile. Before he became Rosh Yeshiva, he used to collect money that a bacher should have a married kolom person learning with him. And the bacher didn't know that Rav Nosson Tzvi was paying for it. And he used to, why? Because he wanted this boy to have he was happy the boy had a great chavrusa, a younger man. But who paid for it quietly, that was Rav Nosson Tzvi. His happiness was that somebody else was successful in learning. Rabbi Rechnitz, who is Rav Belsky's son-in-law, he was the chairman of this Monday night when they had in Bor Park. He said a very interesting story, that whenever Rav Nosson Tzvi would go to America to collect money, chutzlarts, he would first go to Rav Shach for a bracha. And when Rav Shach was nifter, he went to Rav Steinman, shlita. So the first time he went to Rav Steinman, so Rav Elia Finkel, who was the Rashiv of Brachtfeld Meir, says, I would like to go with you. Could I go? Sure. Rav Binyamin Karlbach said, can I go? Sure. And in the car, there was a driver, and there was also a bacher somehow had to go to Bnei Brak, to Rav Steinman, so he was in there also. So they pick up Rav Nosson Tzvi from his house, and Rav Nosson Tzvi goes right to the back, and they said, no, you should come in the front. So no, Rav Aryeh Finkel, who's a relative of his, he should go in the front. I'm in the back. So, and then Rav Karlbach came in. So Rav Nosson Tzvi is sitting in the middle in the Israeli cars are not so big. He's in between this boy and Rav Binyamin Karlbach. And he's smiling the whole way. Anyway, the driver knew that he's very, you know, not comfortable. He told the bacher, when Rav Nosson Tzvi comes out of the house from Rav Steinman, and we go back to Yerushalayim, I'm going to bring you to a bus station, and you'll take a bus back. You can't let him be crowded there in the back. That's fine. So he comes to the bus station, and Rav Nosson Tzvi understood what was happening. And the driver says to the boy, okay, you can go now. So the boy says, so what happened was, Rav Nosson Tzvi had taken the boy's arm and put his arm through the arm. So he says, okay, you can go now. So the boy said, I can't. So the driver says, what do you mean you can't? Why can't you? So Rav Nosson Tzvi answers, and he says, he's stuck. So Rabbi Rechnitz said that he's stuck. A lot of people, you got stuck on the Rosh Yeshiva. You met him, you got stuck from his seeing what a great person he is, from his Avas Yisrael, there's someone I learn with in the neighborhood here once a week, so I Rav Finkel went to visit him on behalf of the yeshiva. So I told this person, I'm not going to tell you anything about Rav Finkel. He'll come into the room, you'll see by yourself you know, you don't have to tell him. So people got stuck with him. He, people, when they used to make a Siyum HaShas, where did they make it? He was the father of the yeshiva. Where did they make it? They made it in his house. His simcha was to see the success of another person. There was a bacher who they made a shidduch with. He was from a very prominent Mir family, and they wanted to make a shidduch with a girl from another prominent Mir family. Problem is, they were both talmid chacham. They didn't have money, so one had a little money. So the bacher side, the kala side, had some money, but not enough to get a dira. You know, you have to get an apartment there, that's all. So the bacher came. He said, "What should he do? He doesn't have." So Rav Nosson Tzvi says, "You're going to have the engagement party. The l'chaim will be in my house." And so, what about what should I do about? He says, "I'm the other side. I'll take on my achray. It's my responsibility. I will raise the funds. That you don't worry about it. That's my worry." Another boy had problems with the army, so he wanted to go to America to get out of the army. So Rav Nasi was worried what's going to happen to him in America. Would he be successful? Rav Nasi says, "You stay here, and all your problems with the army are on my shoulders." And Rav Nasi then met with Knesset members, and he took care of it. The boy did not go to the army. He stayed in yeshiva, and he became a big Talmud Chacham. There's a story of a boy. This was written in the Hamodia. He came, he was a few weeks in the yeshiva. Rav Nosson Tzvi asked him, who's your chevra? He said, "I don't have a chevra." He said, "Which friend do you have?" He said, "I don't have a friend." So Rav Nosson Tzvi puts his hand around his shoulder, and he says, "You have a friend. I'm your friend. And we have to get you a good chavrusa." So he goes to the Beis Medrash. Let's go to the Beis Medrash. Comes there, he sees a certain Talmud Chacham, and he says to this Talmud Chacham, "This is my new friend. We have to get him a good chavrusa." So this person says to Rav Nasri, if he's the Rashiva's good friend, I want to learn with him." Then and he became his chavrusa. This was his. Then another boy didn't have a chavrusa. Rav Nasri says, "Come to my house. We'll learn today." The next day, he still didn't have a chavrusa. "We'll learn today again." And so it went on. I think maybe they learned for a few years together. This way, Rav Nosson Tzvi became his chavrusa. I heard a tape from Rebbetzin Heller. She spoke in Muncie. She says that he was her hero before he was nifter. She said a story with her daughter-in-law that her husband once went on Erev Shabbos to bring a piece of Torah to Rav Nosson Tzvi. Before Chalamoy, before Yontif, he would always get the piece of Torah, and he would review it over to Yontif, what his bachurim were learning. Anyway, so now it's right before Shabbos, and her husband didn't come home. So she calls her mother-in-law, Rebbetzin Heller. Your son's not home. I don't know where he is. Should I call the police? It was right before. He left a few hours before, and he wasn't back. She was worried. So Rebbetzin Heller said, "Listen, the first thing, where was the last place you know he was? The last place was by the Rashiva." He said, "You have to call the last place. So call up the Rashiva." So she calls up. The Rashiva answers the phone. She tells him that he's not home. And the Rashiva says, "Oh, yes, he was by me. And, you know, he's a very chashuva member of the Kolel. And he told me very good Divrei Torah. But she says he's not home." And he starts telling her what the husband spoke to him about. And she really didn't understand what he was saying. And then he said, "Oh, by the way, your daughter, you dressed very nicely. The bows matched the outfit, and she was wearing patent leather shoes. And it's very, even though she can't walk, it's very nice that a baby has shoes already on even before she can." Anyway, all of a sudden the doorbell rings, and
he was holding.
And, right. So he said, "Okay, have a good Shabbos." But so she understood later that he was keeping her on the phone, that she shouldn't be nervous. That was Reb Nosson Tzvi. His we're almost finished. I just end off with two things. His hasmada was till he became Rosh Yeshiva. He sat down for 20 years nonstop. He asked somebody, "Want to learn with me on over Shabbos?" He said, "Yeah." Usually Friday Shabbos in the yeshiva, you don't learn too much because Friday everybody's busy getting ready for Shabbos, and Shabbos is Shabbos. You sleep, you eat. So the guy figured, yeah, he'll learn an hour or two over. So they start 8 o'clock in the morning Friday. They didn't get up till 4 p.m. for a half hour before Shabbos. Then, okay, right after the Suda, we're going to learn again for another 3 hours. But his hasmada was, he wasn't interested in what's going on in the world. Somebody said he sat for 20 years, he got up, and he was the Mir Rosh Yeshiva. He didn't move for 20 years, he learned constantly. So I'm gonna close with two things. One is a rush in Tainus, in Masechta Tainus, at the end of, in the Perek Sheni, at the end of Ois Chav Beis, says the following. The Yerushalmi asks a question. This was quoted by a few of the Maspidim. The Yerushalmi asks, how is it that a person who yesterday wasn't a head of a yeshiva, if he would daven, Hashem wouldn't answer him. Today, when he's made a parnas on the tzibur, he's made the Rosh Yeshiva, all of a sudden his tefillahs for the tzibur, Hashem listens to them. What happened? One day to the next. So the Yerushalmi answers, Kivin shehu nismana ala tzibur. Once he was nismana ala tzibur, v'nimtza nemon, he was faithful. Kedai hu dematzli umesane. It's worthwhile for Hashem when he davens that he's answered. So the Rosh explains this Yerushalmi. Klomar, kivin shehu nemon b'shlichas hakol. Since he's faithful as a representative of the tzibur, umoyser nafshoy lamoid b'peretz lahogin b'adam, and he gives over his life to save them from all bad things. Kedayu sheyanem in a shemayim ba'adakol. He's worth it that he's answered from heaven for the tzibur. So they explained it as follows. Normally, a person's concerned about three things. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. Whether it's I want to be successful in Gashmias, I want to be successful in Ruchnias. My Olam Haba, my Gan Eden, my money, my Kovid, my Chavrusa, my family, my children, that's all me. Me. Right? But a person who goes against his nature, he becomes the head of a tzibur. And then he has to worry about the tzibur. Like Reb Nosson Tzvi, he worried each of the 6,000 Talmidim. There's a picture where they have him in the middle. He used to take them in the summer. They don't learn for a few weeks. He made programs that they should use it constructively. He would go on outings with the boys and sing and sway back and forth with his Talmidim. He everything was that the Talmud should be Matzliach. So when a person goes against his nature, Hashem answers him, Shalai Keder Chatev. Hashem, you went Shalai Keder Chatev. Somebody said, he went to the absolute maximum that a person, a human being could do. So Hashem went beyond. At the end of his life, what he was doing was L'mayla Mider Chatev. It was beyond Teva. Somebody said that his main nekuda was emes. Everything was true. If your main thing is the truth, then titein emes liYaakov. And what do we find by Yaakov? Ufaratzta yama v'keid matzvoin v'negba. You spread out. There's no limitation. The reason Reb Nosson Tzvi was able to do things without limit, more buildings, more programs, more talmidim, never ending. It didn't stop. So the reason is because he was emes, and emes has no limitation. It's eternal. And the final story is a little rough story. He came to a rich man, asked him for the yeshiva. So the rich man had a terrific etzah for him. Instead of me giving you money, what do you need so many talmidim for? Cut down on your talmidim, and you won't need so much money. That's what he told him. So Rav Nassim Tzvi said to him, and why do you need so much money? You know, you're asking me why I need so many talmidim. Why do you need so much money? And he got up. He didn't get a donation. Remember, he left. And shortly after that incident, the man's fortunes began to go down. And he almost went out of business. He almost was bankrupt. And he was thinking to himself, and he said, I did a bad thing. I did an avla, what I said to Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel. He got on a plane, went to Eretz Yisrael. He asked the mechila. And Rav Nassim Tzvi said, I'm moichel. And as the story goes, after that, his stocks went up. So he was a Baal Moifas, as we said, people stood in line to get a bracha, a one-word bracha from this. He was Lamaila Miderech HaTeva. He was not, and we were privileged to have him. And the main lesson we should have, not only how he treated other people, and was his whole life was how to help other people, success in Torah and Avoda, Yerushalayim, but also we should always think, is this thing really so hard as we're making it, or is it not that hard? And let's be, if we're moiser nefesh a little bit, it's a schus for the neshama and of Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel.
How old he was?
I think 67.